Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today we'll be interviewing Dr. Edwin Bing, who's the author of You're Not Crazy, Your Awakening, Journey to Discovering Your Soul Purpose, Joy, and Abundant Life. Dr. Bing is the activator and founder of AffirmationsForLiving.net. She's a spiritual teacher and healer and is here to give you suggestions about what you can do when you're on the path or waking up to a different spiritual reality. Welcome, Dr. Bing. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. And just call me Dr. Edwige. My first name is much easier. Yeah.
All righty.
Thank you for having me on this morning. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about your background and how you came to write the book?
Wow. Okay, so how I came to write the book, in this process of our quote-unquote awakening, right, I was at a workshop in Sedona, and someone walked up to me and said, "Are you writing yet?" And I said, "No, I don't write." And I just ignored that. And several months later, I was here in Vegas, and I was at a friend's workshop, just sitting there listening to everything. And again, a stranger walked up to me and said, "They want you to know how much you beloved. Are you writing yet?" And I said, "Well, thank them. And no, I'm not writing yet, or I don't write." And then finally, it took a third time, because you know three times the charm. And I was on the phone with someone who happened to channel Archangel Michael, and Michael came right in and said, "It is within your blueprint. You are to write." And I said, "Oh, okay. What am I writing about?" And he said, "You will know. You will know." And so, quite honestly, this whole, goodness gracious, thing about awakening began for me when I was 12 years old and first visited by this beautiful, benevolent being of light who was standing there in my room. I opened my eyes, and there he was at the foot of my bed, and out my bedroom window I went, flying into the stars, to the cosmos, landing on a bridge and diving into the depths of the ocean. And this particular being visited with me for 6 years, showing me, you know, that I would come to be this bridge between the worlds, that I also came to find out came in with no life lessons or karma, and that I'm here for this mission, right? So that's where it all began, and that's how I came to, you know, write a book that I had no desire to ever write. I was a singer, so the last thing I wanted to do was sit and, "You want me to write something?"
Well, you know, it's good, though. Once you're awakened, you can just bring the book in by channeling, and it's not really that difficult to write at all. So,
well,
that's,
and it's
that's
so
the
true.
Beauty of it.
Yeah, yeah. And all this, the experiences that started happening, I'm like, "Oh, my gosh, I have so much material. Okay. And so I just started journaling all of the different experiences with them coming in as an adult and still points of light coming into my room, opening my pineal, the visitations, them bringing me off planet, them embracing me. I mean, all sorts of things I share in the book. And then they started showing me, "Okay, now what does this mean? Gotcha." And it flowed. I literally wrote it once I had these experiences that started from that car accident, you know, that chaos into harmony moment, which was for me in 04 when I was rear-ended at over 100 miles an hour. And I
By a police car.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say that. Yes, I mean literally.
Well, I think it's really funny how they bring all these different things in. I think that's great.
Yeah, it's funny. And so, I didn't even realize I was in an accident because I went into the light. Now my life didn't flash before me, so it was nothing traumatic or anything. I was in this beautiful, loving, holding space where a gentle voice said, "You are here to bring them into the light." And I mean, it was peaceful, right? So then I guess it was the second impact, maybe the third, because, you know, he hit the car. We were parked on the shoulders trying to stay out of their way. And it pushed me into traffic, spun the car around, and then broadsided me. So when they hit my side of the car, I popped back in to the vehicle, holding the steering wheel for dear life. And that's when I'm like, "Where am I? What's going on?" And my mom, who was my passenger, her seat had fallen back. And she said, "Dear, we were just in a car accident. We were hit by the police." I'm like, "We were? Oh, my. Yeah, it was like that. And then that's when everything started shifting, and I started getting the visitations as an adult, mm-hmm. which led up to my light body moving into me in September of 2012. So it's been quite the journey. And so I share all of that in the book, what this really means, what is a light body, the process of awakening, the process of getting off autopilot, so important that we can become consciously aware, right, mm-hmm. of our thoughts and where they're leading us. So truly what the process looked like for me, I share. To give a guide,
I just wanted to say that I was a trauma surgeon for at least 25 years, and so I saw a lot of people in car accidents, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not uncommon for spiritually evolved people who are still asleep or, you know, ready mm-hmm. to wake up to be involved in a car accident that then does push them into another, I guess, area of reality where they start to rapidly wake up. That actually is
so
very
true.
Common.
You know, and it's so interesting. I call it the chaos into harmony moment. And because within our DNA, within us, you know, they even took mm-hmm. me to the Bardo realm, the realm in between lifetimes, where I was sitting mm-hmm. writing in my Akashic record with two of my guides. And when I was done writing, I got up, I walked over to what I perceived to be the edge of this realm. And there was mm-hmm. my mom in the hospital bed about to give birth to me. So all of this mm-hmm. has been orchestrated and divinely designed. And it mm-hmm. is an allotted time that your soul, your higher self says, it's time for you to awaken. And if you somehow don't get that signal, then your team, those beings of love, are going to create something based on where mm-hmm. you are energetically in that moment that's going to cause you to wake up. And that's exactly what happened. And so that's why I was so protected. There was, you know, even though I tore two discs in my neck, think about it. You're a doctor. Think about it. I was parked in the shoulder, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was rear-ended at over 100 miles by a police car. That's a big impact.
Right.
To spin the car around and to broadside it, to crack it off its frame, and highway fatality showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I walk away with two torn discs in my neck, bulging disc in my lower back. Certainly I was in pain. Oh, that goes without mm-hmm. saying. But it could have been a lot worse.
That's true. And, you know, it's very interesting. Carolyn Mace, at a workshop I attended with her, once said that when people are ready to go from the regular way of living to the more spiritual awakening, they often have to either lose everything or think that they're going to lose everything. And my story was very interesting in that I was told, I was working with a clairvoyant group about three or four times a week, so we were meeting frequently, and the clairvoyant messages coming through was that I was going to be killed in an auto accident. And that mm-hmm. was coming from many different sources, not just one, about 10 different sources, including my mother, who called me up and said she was really worried I was going to die in a car accident. So I basically, within the span of about 3 hours, just released everything. Because, I didn't want to suffer, so I just released everything. I said, fine, you know, if I'm going to die in a car accident, I'll die in a car accident. And I didn't quit driving. I just went on normally. And mm-hmm. 2 or 3 weeks passed, and nothing happened, and then the messages started coming in, well, you're not going to die in a car accident, you know. It was just to get me to release everything so that I could, you know, I could undergoing this awakening process. But, you know, other people associated with me did lose everything. You know, they lost a marriage when their best friend had an affair with their wife. They had to declare bankruptcy. You know, they had to do all of these more painful things before they awoken, but it was the same thing. They released everything. So,
sort of like, you know, the darkest side of the soul, right? Yeah.
It is, but I preferred my way because I just did it in about 3 hours and it wasn't that bad. You know, it was just like, okay, we're just going to have to release everything because, you know, when you're told you're going to die, you have to release everything. Otherwise, it's too painful.
Absolutely.
So that was my only choice.
It really is about the letting go and the surrender. And I think that's the message here. You have to surrender. You must realize that there is a higher part of you that wants to move into you. And that part has no fear, is not controlled by what the media says, how we're supposed to think, behave, look, and be. We have to really begin to tap back into who we are as these divine beings and let that part of us that is the spiritual part, let that now be the divine director of all that we think, say, and do, and you have to mean it. And when you completely surrender to that little ego and allow that God part of you to take over, then that's your awakening, you know?
And really, you never have fear again. I want to emphasize
this.
Once you go through that, a couple of things. You're never alone, which is neat. You never feel loneliness because you're never alone. And then, you know, your books talks about the guides and communication with your higher self. And so you never experience loneliness again, which is one of the big problems that people have is loneliness, the feeling of separation that's painful. And then
Absolutely.
You never have fear again. I've had some really hairy things happen to me since my awakening. And I should be, you know, people are really amazed that I'm not fearful of what was, you know, because these are real serious things. They're, you know, they threaten my life. I mean, the FBI got involved, you know, a whole bunch of stuff that most people would be incredibly frightened about. And I just never felt fear at all. I just always knew that there was massive protection and that nothing would happen unless it was divinely ordained that it should happen.
Yeah.
And I was told that it wasn't going to happen. So, you see, that's the other part of this, the faith and the trust in what you hear, way beyond anything of this world.
Absolutely. So there's a couple of things in that you said. So the word fear is false evidence appearing real. And in our minds, oh, my God, we're going to take this false evidence, and we're just going to beat it to death, right? And then we build it up and build it up and build it up. And what we don't realize is we're actually creating it because we're feeding it, right? So something probably is going to happen because you've given it so much energy and effort, you've given it life. And so, we have to learn to have faith and to trust the process that we are so beloved and so guided and so protected, and that whatever is your destiny, and that we are immortal and eternal. And so this, it's so amazing. I mean, how many lifetimes have we had? And we're here. So it's all okay. And we really have to let go of what our small ego mind says is what's reality and begin to tap back into the greater part of who we are, knowing that there is so much more meaning and purpose behind each and every one of us. And that can give us so much faith to know each step I take is destined. Each step I take matters. And I have the universe to back me up. And boy, do I have the universe to back me up.
The spiritual guidance that we get in session is that there is a tremendous amount of spiritual help available to us that we just really never realize it because our senses are centered in this third dimensional space. So we don't really realize the vast amount of spiritual help available to us. And really part of walking this path is being in communication with this help at all times and being
Absolutely.
Open to it.
Yeah, you know, and that's where meditation and prayer and getting still. You know, also, I know in my work I'm so big into getting off of autopilot, you see, because where is your mind taking you and you having the same thoughts? And so understanding that your positive thoughts will lead to positive emotions, leading to positive outcome. Your negative thoughts will lead to negative emotions, leading to a negative outcome. And so you, in this awakening state, have to become mindful. And so paying attention, where are my thoughts leading me? And am I allowing them to just wander off and to be chaotic? And am I allowing the outside stimuli to impact me, right, and that I never take control, that I never get quiet, that I never get still, and I allow all this outside stimulus to truly impact me in a negative way and take me down a path that does not support my best and highest good? Or do I get up in the morning, set a clear intention? Do I set the tone by prayer, meditation, gratitude, knowing that now as I move throughout my day, I do so with intention that it's going to be orderly, that I'm in harmony with, and that I'm here to be of service to, and allow that to move through me throughout the day, and to check in with myself throughout the day. How am I feeling? Because that emotional body is going to let you know in what direction you're going, be it positive or negative. And so how am I feeling? Is it going smoothly? Am I having a joy-filled day? Am I meeting my deadlines with my boss on time? And if so, you're probably having positive thoughts leading to those good emotions, and you're going to have a really good outcome. But if not, and, you know, you're hitting all the red lights, your morning cup of coffee hasn't served you, you can't wake up, you're not meeting the deadlines, and just things seem to be just chaotic and pushing, I say stop. Right? Before it really starts to manifest into something you don't desire, stop. Grab hold of yourself. Disconnect from that unevenness. Move back into the space of your heart. Now, evaluate. What have I been thinking that's creating this? Because I am, as a responsible person awakening, knowing that I am the creator of it, then I need to cancel that thought, rephrase it in a positive, uplifting way, and now set a clear intention and continue my day. And then do it again and again and again. And so if it's your stuff, why is this popping up? Why? What about this is the lesson that I'm supposed to be getting? Let me deal with that so that I can move past this. People wonder why they cycle around in the same bad relationship, the same this, the same that. It's because you haven't addressed it yet, right?
There's a great book by a friend of mine, Michael Rice, called Why Is This Happening to Me Again?
Oh, yes. Love him.
And Michael's a great teacher of this whole idea. Yeah. And he was the original one that was teaching Jesus' ancient Aramaic technique of forgiveness.
Right. Or when he translated the Lord's Prayer. Now, was that just magnificent? Did you ever see his translation?
It really was. Yeah.
Yes.
Michael went back to the ancient Aramaic, which is what Jesus taught in, because it's a language of physics. And when he takes away all these other translations from the, you know, Greek to the Roman to the, you know, to the English, it sounds totally different, and it describes a system of healing and a system of forgiveness that we really need today. I mean, look at the world. We really need this.
You know? Absolutely. Yeah. Indeed.
So would you like to give some of your contact information at this point so people can look you up?
Oh, okay. Beautiful. You can find, well, my book, You're Not Crazy, You're Awakening, Journey to Discovering Your Soul Purpose, Joy, and Abundant Life, is available on Amazon as well as Kindle. And you can visit my website, and that's dredvige.com. That's dredwige.com, dredvige.com. And on my website, you will see all sorts of interesting things, lots of audios to listen to, videos to watch, and so forth, as well as you can sign up for a one-on-one session or a mentoring package that I have as I work at the cellular level to clear all of the past life traumas and inner child issues, and really to rewire you and get that DNA turned on and begin the process. I actually bring in light bodies. So it's amazing when I see someone who's done enough work to clear, to calibrate, to raise their vibration, that their light body is then ready to move into them. And I facilitate light bodies coming in. So it's beautiful to see.
I also want to emphasize to people why this is important now. There is energy coming in from the galactic center that is pushing things. And specifically, Michael the Archangel told us that this energy in people who are on the path will make them more, you know, pushes their chakras to be at a higher level. So they will be more clairvoyant. They will be more energy will flow through them better. They'll be able to do better healings, and all of the spiritual gifts will be at a higher level. But if mm-hmm. your chakras are not spinning in the correct direction, if you're fear-based, if you're full of negative emotions, then it pushes it that way, and you'll create physical disease much more commonly. So people who are in the middle and you know, don't know if they're going to cycle up or cycle down, this is a critical, critical time. And that's why spiritual teachers such as yourself are out there and available to help people. And I would
Absolutely.
Encourage people
yeah.
not to go down the slippery slope of having things disintegrate. It's really a disintegrating energy if your chakras are not aligned properly.
Absolutely. It's so important to get them open and balanced. And, you know, I don't know if you saw the picture on my website of me bilocating, but that's what happens once you open the 12th chakra, and those chakras above your head all need to mm-hmm. be open and balanced so that you can receive your light body. And then those amazing gifts of being able to bilocate and just, mm-hmm. wow, to tap into who we truly are as a divine being are then available to you. And words cannot describe how amazing that feels to be able to do things like that and to, you know, go beyond and see creation as I did as a child. So, yeah, it's beautiful. And that's what gives me so much joy in doing my work, working with someone one-on-one and seeing them go through those stages of not being able to see or not having their third eye open. And then after a few sessions, they can see, they're starting to pulse and vibrate and see colors as we're starting to clear their circuitry and turn things on. So it's beautiful to be able to witness that in someone. So yes, I would invite anyone, you know, who's interested on truly getting onto their path to check out my work.
Yeah, it's real important right now. It's not that easy to do this work on your own. Basically, with what happened to me, I went into meditation and heard the words, quit your job. So I did. And at the time, I was making a huge amount of money as a plastic surgeon, so that was interesting. But
yeah, really.
I quit my job at the time that my spiritual teacher showed up. And then that's the clairvoyant group I was working with 3 or 4 times a week. And all of us went on to do fairly significant contributions to the spiritual world. So it basically is a guided thing. In other words, your teachers are sent to you. So if you're listening to the radio show, evaluate whether that is the case in this
and resonating
interview.
With you, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So things are, you have to evaluate things within your own heart, but in other words, how it feels to you. But it's not something that you have to do on your own. Help is given. So
absolutely.
I wanted to emphasize that. Yeah.
What's so beautiful? It's like standing on the yellow brick road, right? And that yellow brick road mm-hmm. is the path of awakening. And all you have to do is stand there in trust and faith, and the next step will be revealed to you so that you know. And it's
right.
through those synchronistic signs that you know, okay, this is the next logical step for me to take. This is the right person, because synchronicities mm-hmm. show up. And it's so funny. I'll have a client and they'll say, you know, they weren't planning on listening to whatever particular telesummit or whatever I may be on. And all mm-hmm. of a sudden their laptop's on the bed and it pops, it turns on by itself, and there's my picture.
Right.
And they're like, oh, and yeah. they'll push the button and then they'll hear, and they're like, oh my goodness, I just needed to hear that. And here I am. It's like, yeah, that's how it happens. And so it's beautiful. Indeed it is. Even the guidance from the other realms, when you are ready, they will show up. And so it's understanding
yep.
how you begin to ask, understanding, just go within your heart space and truly seek, and they'll show up, that's for sure. There's
mm-hmm.
no doubt about that.
That's very
yeah.
true. So what are some of the other workshops and things that you're involved in?
Well, actually am getting ready to launch a webinar series based on my book, You're Not Crazy, You're Awakening, because mm-hmm. this process of awakening is so important that we understand the process of ascension. That's so much a big part of it. Here we are in this mm-hmm. lifetime given the opportunity to leave 3D, right? That's what this is all about. We're moving mm-hmm. into the golden age, and what is it like to live in the golden age, to be with integrity and to clear? And so step by step, I move people through the stages and states of consciousness so that they understand mm-hmm. that where you are is perfect because it's exactly where you're supposed to be. Now let's understand what these stages look like. Let's identify them so that you know mm-hmm. when you're in the midst of it, how to transmute, how to transform, and then how to transfigure. So I'm excited about that webinar because it's going to be in-depth, step by step, you know, once a month, the process of moving through these stages. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I'm really excited about. The other thing that I do in my mentoring program, where I literally every week I meet one-on-one with those who've signed up, and I've created about 36 lessons, PDFs of everything from mm-hmm. getting off autopilot to stilling your mind to mm-hmm. the different levels of the light body. And so we go over that week after week to move you through the process in a more personal one-on-one environment. And of course I do, you know, lots of interviews and different speaking engagements, nothing this month, but I have a calendar of events where you can always go and find out where I'll be and what I'm doing. So, yeah, staying busy.
I wanted to mention to the listening audience about how that this multidimensional state of being is our natural state. It's what spirit's in. It's what we should be in. But if you ever read the Urantia book, you'll understand why we're in 3D. 3D was put upon us at the time of the Luciferian Rebellion because Lucifer, who was a dark angel, petitioned the administration for more free will for 37 planets that he was over. And that was granted. This was an experiment in free will. Earth is one of 37 planets where there is free will. But free will brought us into a different form of energetic environment. There was a shield put over the planets where when a soul came in, they forgot their past lives and they forgot their connection to spirit. So when we came in, we were kind of dumbed down. And then we had to just experience things in 3D only. Of course, it was a dream state. There were other things that occurred, but because the density of Earth was so dense, only very, very spiritually evolved people like the Dalai Lama would really remember their past lives. So now this is being lifted off. So I think it's important to understand what the ascension is. The ascension is the removal of the blocks put down during the Luciferian Rebellion. In other words, the free will experiment is over.
Amen.
Isn't that a great explanation?
Over.
And that comes straight
gosh.
From your rancha. That's your rancher.
Wonderful reading.
You know,
yeah, I mean, there's so much good information out there. My goodness. But yes, and that's the wonderful thing about this. So this is the time that we've been waiting for. This is
it. Is.
We get to and reincarnating into 3D. Just imagine that, where there's been all this lack and limiting thoughts and beliefs and trauma and drama.
Well, you just come back stupid every time, you know.
Yeah.
Like you're stripped of everything you know.
You know? Yeah. So imagine.
I mean, consciously. You know it unconsciously. You know it in your heart, but you don't remember it.
Yeah, but you don't remember
unless you really work at it. That's right, yeah.
Which we have done, right? Some of us have done.
Well, and I have. Not everybody has.
Not everyone. It's like peeling the onion, peeling the layers,
right,
and then it's revealed who you are. And when you realize, oh my gosh, my I Am Presence is this magnificent divine being. Amazing.
Well, the people on Earth, on this planet, who are involved in the dark agendas, who are propagating fear and limitation, war, and, you know, all the negative things out there, their time is limited. That's
indeed
the message.
It is.
Their time is limited, that the havoc that they can, you know, create, the time is limited because the ascension is right now.
Underway.
The ascension is currently happening.
That's right. And you know, it's going through these different initiations and understanding that. And so, you know, when I received my light body, wow, what an experience that was. Because up until that point, you know, I closed my eyes, I would see colors all the time, and I would be pulsing and vibrating all the time. And so that September of 2012, as I lay there in bed, pulsing and vibrating, I looked up and all of a sudden saw the still point of bright white light. I'm like, what the heck is that? This is new. And I mean, I had been touched, taken to the Council of 12, all sorts of things happening, right? So now I'm looking at this point of light as it just begins to descend. And as it grows closer, I see that it's the form of a body, and it's a light body. And I'm like, whoa, my body moved into me, and I was able to see it, witness it, feel it. It was about a 10-hour process as it literally calibrated and moved in. It was phenomenal. And then I stayed home about 30 days. I didn't really leave the home. And one day my husband says, oh, let's go to the movies. You've been home integrating this. You're fine now. So I'm like, okay, let's go to the movies. And here in Vegas, lots of the theaters are in casinos. So we step onto the casino floor en route to the theater. And all of a sudden, this milky tunnel appears. And I said to him, do you see that? He says, what? I'm walking in a cloud. I'm walking in a tunnel, literally a tunnel of this milky substance all around, below, above. And he said, no, I don't see that. And he said, oh, so you shouldn't be here, should you? I said, no, dear, I shouldn't be here. And so we detoured and made it out the first door, and back home I came. And so that was amazing. And I'm just sharing this because I want everyone to really understand this process of ascension. And so then in 2014, at the end of 2014, I'm guided that I need to go to Mount Shasta. And I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. So here I am on Mount Shasta. Wow. My consciousness had opened and expanded that with my eyes open, I watched a white wall come in like a thin veil and split the dimensions. Mm-hmm. And on one side was 3D, and on the other side was 5D. I proceeded to walk through all 12 levels of 5D with my eyes open. Mm-hmm. At one point, I begin to say the Lord's Prayer, and the rays of God descend into me one by one. And then as I continue up the mountain, I get out the vehicle, and the violet flame is hovering above me as it moves in. And then finally, I'm anointed, and this golden ball, for lack of a better way of describing it, because I can just say what I saw, begins to roll up my spine, and it hit my neck and rolled back down. And it did that several times as I started to rub the back of my neck, because, you know, that's where the injury was. And finally, when I relaxed my shoulders, this beautiful golden ball rolls up my spine, up past my neck, out my head, and flings open and out. And that's when the descension of my I am presence began. And so that's what it is. It's doing the work to let go of all the fear, the limiting thoughts and beliefs about yourself and the world.
Right.
See yourself as a detached observer, knowing that nothing is broken, that's the illusion, and see past it to the hearts of everyone. And when you can do that and be in that energy all the time and raise your frequency, then your light body moves in, which allows then for your I am presence to begin to move into you. And that's what it is. Your God self, your monad, being right here in your physicality, and taking that physical being then and recalibrating and becoming that youthful, vibrant being that you are. And that is the process. And I'm in it. And so it's amazing to be able to pulse, vibrate, see what I see, feel it, be able to activate it in others, and to be in the knowing is beyond words, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. I was guided to go to Mount Shasta in 2006 and underwent my last initiation there, and had a very similar experience that you did. Mount Shasta, by the way, is the highest energy point on the northern hemisphere. It's not in the world, because that's in the Gobi Desert, but in the northern hemisphere, which at least we weren't guided to the Gobi Desert. That would have been a lot further away.
I know. It's like, I can make that drive to Mount Shasta. It's like, no big deal. Fly to Sacramento and drive in. It's like, okay, easy. to do that.
Yeah.
But I mean, is that just phenomenal to be able to see all of that? Oh, and I didn't share with you, at the 12th level of 5D, the kingdom appeared to me. Now that was something to behold with my eyes open, seeing this magnificent emerald kingdom appear with this big golden path. And all I could see was stand there and say, oh.
Well, that's where our souls reside. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I've visited there many times. My soul had a child not too long ago that was very interesting. So I've had the experience of the kingdom, yes.
Yes, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. When they come, then the little people come. The other day in my home, the little people were here. I'm like, okay. And into the kingdom I went. I'm like, home. Just amazing. Just amazing. So this is real, and I think we have these, we share our experiences, not as a way for people to compare notes, but to let you know it is absolutely real, and it's available to everyone when you say, yes, I now choose this path. And so that path of awakening is going to be different. For me, it was the car accident. For you, it was just the surrender. Okay. And so whatever that looks like, it's right and perfect for you to have your own experience, but to know that this truly is real, ascension, awakening. It's our birthright, and that's why we're here. So step into it. Be grateful for where you are. Just love yourself, and everyone else is a reflection of what's within you. So if something comes up, acknowledge it and love it free. You see, so it's just an amazing time to be alive, to witness this, to be a part of it. It's history. And the universes, by the way, are observing, because this is history in the making. So be on your best behavior.
Well, and also know, with this energy coming in, you're manifesting more and more quickly. So, you know, where it might take some time to have your thoughts, you know, come into physical reality, and know that things that aren't handled in the mental and emotional plane correctly can then manifest in the physical body as disease and illness.
Correct.
So
yeah.
Know that basically we're not victims of anything. We're not victims of what happens to us. We're not victims of illness. Basically, if you understand manifestation and how things work, that you can anticipate when you're not in alignment and then correct it before you have to suffer. And that's
absolutely part of what I alluded to earlier about the positive thought, emotion, outcome, negative thought, emotion, outcome. We really have to begin to pay attention, because all of that dis-ease within you is somewhere where you are out of balance. All of this, all of universal laws, all of these experiences have all been to bring you back into harmony and balance, you know? And in the higher dimensions, there is no duality. There's no polarity. So this is just a 3D thing. So really begin to expand your awareness and to see who you are at this higher level of your being, and to really let go of all of this stuff, to pay attention to it and to acknowledge it, and then to do the work, you know. And I know so many of us say you have to do the work, but the work doesn't have to be drudgery. It doesn't have to be hard and beat you up. You know, you're creating that. You're creating the dis-ease, the unpleasantness, the lack, the limitation. You're creating it. So stop having those thoughts. Stop feeding it. Stop tapping into the news and the woes of the world and believing that to be the truth. You know, I couldn't tell you who's running for president. And do I care? Absolutely not. Why? Because that's a 3D matrix. And if we are to break free from that false timeline, then break free from it. Knowing that, you know, where we are moving to, it's not like that. And so we have to stop feeding the beast. Yeah.
let me share with you what we heard last week in session. Michael told us that the current presidential elections on Earth are like a giant chess game with different players, not just two sides, but different players, each moving the pieces, and that things are not as they appear. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the reality of it. You know, it's a big chess
game.
Well,
I know that that's true. I know that there are certain agendas in place specifically to take out certain members that represent the powers that be so that they cannot become president. And then after that, things may shift and different things may occur that are totally unexpected. And I think things may happen as portrayed on the House of Cards latest episodes, where candidates may be voted for by delegates that were never in the primaries, because that's the scenario in House of Cards, And oftentimes things are put into TV that then are going to manifest later in reality, or could manifest. Yeah, it's a possibility that could manifest. So we live in a society where a presidential or vice presidential candidate can be elected during a convention. The first ballot has to be the people that they voted for, but if there's no consensus, the delegates are free to vote for whoever they want on the second ballot. And that's very interesting.
Wow.
Most people don't know that. Yeah.
No, not at all.
So it's a giant chess game. So it's very, I mean, I watch it just for entertainment and also to understand the different, I'm real interested in the different factions, because these factions are really fighting for control of the planet. It's not just the U.S., it's planetary. And it's really forces of light versus forces of darkness. And it's just fascinating to watch the different maneuvering that occurs.
So you know, I
look at it as entertainment.
Well, yeah, and when you look at it that way, it's play, right? And it's fun to just watch to see how it plays out. You know, I just send it all light, and knowing that the outcome, you know, just allow the light to be a force within it, so that all that is dark is brought to the light and all that is revealed, so that we can move along the proper timeline of this ascension and changing the matrix from that old time is money matrix to, you know, where everyone is provided for. So, yeah, I just keep sending that light for that outcome, and know that it will.
Yeah.
Know that it will.
So what are you going to be, do you have other things that you're working on right now?
Well, you know, wow, so much is going on. And you know, there were those eclipses last month. I don't know if you felt them, but I sure did. And so I am actually just moving through those energies, allowing it all to settle in and reworking what I'll be doing as far as my work, because of what came in and what's moving through me now is so powerful. So it's just creating the foundation for taking what I do to a larger scale, a larger level, with doing more conferences and workshops. And so I'm in the midst of creating all of that right now, quite honestly, based on the book, but based on truly the work that I'm here to do, as I was shown from a little child, that bridge. So, it will all be based on the work of ascension and awakening, and you're not crazy.
Right. Well, you know, people have been accused of being crazy, including myself. It's very interesting that is a defense mechanism for people who are really frightened by this information. And, you know,
isn't that
guess
sad? Yeah.
Well, in some ways, though, my message today is they need to be frightened of this information. If they are truly staying in fear-based, I guess, agendas where they threaten people and work in the negative all the time, what's going to personally happen to them isn't going to be good. You know,
not at all.
And you know, basically it comes down to the fact that you're either centered in love or you're centered in fear. And the people that at the institutional level, in government, in medicine, in healthcare, in, you know, you see all these things in healthcare where they're trying to ban supplements, and I mean the war is just ridiculous. What's going on?
Can you imagine that they want to sanction supplements?
They want to make it so you can't get access to supplements because it's threatening the profits of their pharmaceutical industries. And then you know that Dr. Mercola's significant other is doing the story on the holistic doctor murders, the ones that were addressing vaccines and cancer. And, you know, I'm in contact with her fairly frequently, and she, you know, she's been exposing this, and, I mean, just the ridiculous stuff that's going on. I mean, sheer murder
now. You know,
I mean,
it's crazy. Insane. Think about it. This country is all about cancer research. Now, you can go to Germany, and they'll laugh, and they'll say, that is just so funny because it's such an easy thing to cure. And yet, America is all about the research. I mean, come on now. We know, okay, let's be real. We know that an alkaline body is a healthy body. We know that an acidic body is what breaks the body down. We know that cancerous cells are acidic. So, number one, what does that say? Well, that's why they have such acidic foods, processed food, food that's dead, why we have Monsanto creating these crappy seeds that farmers have to use to grow produce that doesn't have any nutrients, you know, genetically modified foods. There's a doctor out there, Dr. Sabi. Oh, my gosh. She has a list of food that is electrical. And he tells you, these are the foods that are electrical, the original foods. And everything else is a hybridized food. And hybridized foods cause mucus in the body and acid in the body. And those are the things that make you sick. That's it. End of story, right?
Well, actually, but no, there is something else that you need to know. I've had a cancer clinic here since 1999, and we do muscle testing or applied kinesiology on the cause of the cancer. Most primary cancers are actually emotional. Like if you're in a really bad relationship and you're a victim of that relationship, you can get kidney cancer. If you have someone who's supposed to protect you and betrays you, then and you're right-handed and a woman, then you can get left-sided breast cancer. See, each of these is very, very specific. Pancreatic cancer is often being mad at God for taking your spouse, for taking your daughter, you know, but being mad at God. It's a very, very dark, dark energy. And I was interviewing Dr. Nick Gonzalez, and who recently died under very mysterious circumstances. But anyway, I told Dr. Gonzalez that was the energy of pancreatic cancer, and he says, Susan, I think you're correct. So it's actually anything that lowers the energy of the organ. Now, listen to what these are. This is important. Emotional, hormonal, geopathic stress, toxic chemical, radiation, electromagnetic, any infection, including parasite, mildew, fungal, viral, bacterial. And all of those have to be treated if there's infection in the organ. Like H. pylori leads to stomach cancer. It's known there's a scientific model that parasites can lead to stomach cancer, too. And then generational curse. And let me tell you something. Generational curse is more the mechanism of cancer than anything you'll ever find in cancer research. Cancer is a fourth dimensional intrusion into the third dimension. It's a mindless energy that comes into an organ that has dropped its energy to a certain point and then causes cancer. And if you block the portal between the fourth and the third dimension, and you can do that with shamanic means, you can do that with antipsychotics such as Abilify, you can do that with a number of different things like removing the curse, the cancer goes away, period. That's the cause
of
cancer.
Amazing. That's
well, right. You've got to treat the cause.
And everything is always in the non-physical. It's always the energy, right? Because we are
right.
Energy.
Well, So the principle is that everything is descending. In other words, cancer has to be at a higher level energetically and dimensionally, and then descends into this dimension because that's how all disease works. Now, it is true that sugar feeds cancer and acidic things make cancer grow more easily. That's probably because acidity attracts fungus, and fungus lowers the energy even more. I mean, that is true, and we tell every cancer patient to become alkaline, you know, to really measure it with the pH and to and to do all of this. But basically, the primary, this is interesting, the primary cause of most cancers, now not all, because I had one the other day that was only generational curse, and five of her young cousins also had cancer between the ages of 28 and 36. So all they had was generational curse, no other cause. Now, the primary cause of first-time cancers is emotional in most people, but the primary cause of recurrent cancer is usually electromagnetic. Smart meters, cell towers, Wi-Fis. It's very important if you've had cancer to get a Faraday cage and sleep in it so you don't have electromagnetics.
Yeah.
And also to make sure your bed's not on a geopathic stress line. That can be measured with dowsing rods. Because I was talking with Burton Goldberg the other day. He was the editor of Alternative Medicine magazine. I said, Burton, I'm finding that 50% of breast cancer patients are on geopathic stress lines. He says 70% of all cancer patients are on.
Yeah, that's something to really be mindful of. The smart meters, the HARP towers, right?
Right.
Your cell phone. Are you putting diodes on your cell phone or your computer or your television?
And also like using them. You know.
Well, yes, not using them as often.
We're using them
head.
On speaker.
Yes.
Not putting them on by
it's
your
like,
head.
It's like, don't use your Bluetooth.
No, don't put that thing in your ear. I interviewed Dr. Carlo, who was the researcher that did $20 million worth of research for the cell phone companies. He says those Bluetooths go right in, and they cause the tumors that are on the eighth cranial nerve. So that drills it right into your head. So that's not good. So get those off
not
your ear. But anyway,
people,
there's a huge amount of information out there that you can have access to if you just pay attention. And it's very protective, because there's a lot of dangers out there right now.
Well, and that's what people have to be aware of. And again, it's about the knowing. It's not about the fear, right? It's about the knowing, because knowledge empowers. Now I feel stronger. Wow. Now I know that this is emotional. Well, as above, so below. As within, so without. So everything begins above, right? And so it's understanding that, and then what do you choose to do with that knowledge? And that's what I think this is all about. You've got the information. Now what do you choose to do with it? Do you choose to keep the blinders on? Then you get what you get because you're living through default. Or do you choose to remove the blinders, change your perception, and now set clear intentions of, I choose to be healthy, whole, and complete. I choose to be empowered. I choose to be in the knowing, you see? And then you feel like, okay, God's got my back, and then I'm not going to be like, God, why did you let me, you know, go through this? It's all about our perception and how we see ourselves and our place in the world. So, I love it. Absolutely.
Well, we're coming up on the end of our hour. Would you like to give your contact information one more time?
Yes, thank you. So that is Dr. Edwige, and that's just edwige.com. Again, that's drEdwige.com, Dr. Edwige. And you can find my book, You're Not Crazy, You're Awakening, on Amazon and available also on Kindle.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Pleasure being here.
Well, we've been interviewing Dr. Bajee with You're Not Crazy, You're Awakening. And please join us next week for Temple of Health Radio Show.